Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
Climate change is reshaping the future of the Winter Olympics. With the Earth warming at a record rate, the list of locations that could reliably host a Winter Games will shrink substantially in the coming years, according to researchers. Daniel Scott is a professor at the University of Waterloo.
We've seen, especially the last 5 years, multiple cancellations of FIS races. And then that translates every 4 years into the challenges of the Olympics. We've seen that at Sochi. We saw it in 2010 at Vancouver. And it really puts both safety and fairness at risk.
The situation is serious enough that the International Olympic Committee is considering rotating the games among a permanent pool of suitable locations and holding them earlier in the season, since March is getting too warm for the Paralympic Games. Olympic qualifier for U.S. ski mountaineering Cam Smith says, at some point it might be too difficult to put on snow competitions in a lot of places.
It's scary to think that this might not be around a century from now.
I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Overdose deaths in the U.S. declined for most of 2025. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says an estimated 73,000 people died from overdoses in the 12-month period that ended in August of last year. That's down from 92,000 overdose deaths in the previous 12-month period. CDC officials say deaths were down in 45 states last year. Overdose deaths have been falling for more than 2 years, the longest drop in decades, but the decline has been slowing. However, experts are cautiously optimistic the downward trend will continue. I'm Mike Hempen.
New options for testing and treating some of the most common sexually transmitted diseases are becoming increasingly available. Last year, the Food and Drug Administration approved the first at-home test that can detect three common infections in women. That includes gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HPV. U.S. health officials also approved two different drugs for gonorrhea, the first new options in decades. STDs reached alarming highs before and during the COVID-19 pandemic. Experts hope the new trend toward access and convenience will keep infection rates from rising. Marcela Sanchez, Washington.
Six puppies in Washington state have been given a second chance at life. The puppies have recovered after being treated for a suspected drug overdose. Investigators say two people dropped off three of the puppies at Sky Valley Fire in Gold Bar, Washington. Sheriff deputies tracked down the people believed to have dropped off the dogs and found three more puppies also needed treatment. Sky Valley Fire Battalion Chief Brandon Vargas says the dogs were very sick.
The initial three were unresponsive, so they were just limp, barely breathing.
Officials believe the animals either breathe or ate fentanyl. Firefighters sprayed the anti-overdose medication naloxone up their noses. They also treated them with oxygen and, in one case, CPR. It wasn't long before their tails were wagging again. Now some of the staffers at Sky Valley Fire are interested in adopting the puppies. I'm Mike Kempen.
President Trump is floating a new idea as he insists the U.S. must control Greenland. He's suggesting punishing nations who do not back his bid to take over the island, a semi-autonomous territory of NATO ally Denmark.
I may put a tariff on countries if they don't go along with Greenland, because we need Greenland for national security.
His message came as a bipartisan congressional delegation visited Denmark's capital. Delaware Democrat Chris Coons was among those meeting with both Danish and Greenlandic lawmakers, saying it's vital to take their perspectives back to the U.S.
so that we can lower the temperature and have a more constructive dialogue about the best path forward.
That visit came days after Vice President Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio met here in Washington with Denmark's and Greenland's top diplomats without resolving deep differences. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
As Iran returns to uneasy calm after a wave of protests that drew a harsh, bloody crackdown, a senior hardline cleric in Tehran is calling for the death penalty for detained demonstrators and directly threatened U.S. President Donald Trump. Executions, as well as killing of peaceful protesters, are two of the red lines laid down by Trump for possible military action against Iran. The harsh repression that has left several thousand people dead appears to have succeeded in stifling the demonstrations. The U.S.-based Human Rights Activist News Agency says the death toll has reached at least 2,797 people, adding that that number will likely increase. In a rally organized by the Cuban government, tens of thousands of Cubans demonstrated outside of the U.S. Embassy in Havana to decry the killing of 32 Cuban officers in Venezuela. The officers were part of former Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's security detail and were killed during the raid on his residence in Caracas. Cuba's President Miguel Díaz-Canel told the crowd, "To the empire that threatens us, we say, Cuba, we are millions, a people ready to fight if attacked, with the same unity and ferocity as the 32 Cubans who fell on January 3rd. The demonstration was a show of popular strength after President Donald Trump recently demanded that Cuba make a deal with him before it's, quote, too late, saying that Cuba will no longer live off of Venezuela's oil and money. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Harry Styles fans can expect his long-awaited fourth studio album this spring. Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally, is set to arrive March 6th. The album is his first full-length project in 4 years and follows his 2022 synth-pop record, Harry's House, which earned him Album of the Year at the 2023 Grammy Awards. Styles revealed the album's cover artwork on Instagram, featuring the 31-year-old artist in a t-shirt and jeans at night, standing beneath a shimmering disco ball hung outside. According to a press release, the album will contain 12 tracks and is executive produced by Kid Harpoon, a close collaborator of Styles since the beginning of his solo career. Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally is now available for pre-order. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
Researchers excavated 7 cheetah mummies, along with the bones of 54 other cheetahs, from caves in northern Saudi Arabia, dating from 130 years old to 1,800 years old. While Egypt's mummies are the most well-known, mummification can happen naturally. In the cheetah's case, the cave's dry conditions and stable temperature could have played a role in their preservation. Researchers think it may have been a denning site where mothers birth and raise their young because there were so many cheetahs found in those caves. Scientists say the cheetah's genes are most similar to modern-day cheetahs from Asia and Northwest Africa, and were hoping that the find will help them reintroduce the cats. Cheetahs once roamed across most of Africa and parts of Asia, but now live in just 9% of their previous range. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
It was the highlight, at least for some, at the Pennsylvania Farm Show Monday.
Thanks for sticking around for the most glorious competition in all of the PA Farm Show, the annual mullet competition.
MC Jason Goldberg getting the contest underway with the under 5 set.
Mom did not want to cut the curls, so this mullet is 2 years in the making.
One child after another took to the stage to show off their mullets.
A mullet family, Weston and Whalen.
The hairstyle is short in the front, long in the back, cropped on the sides.
Yeah, I think it's sharp. It just cut me from across the stage.
And after all those kids crossed the stage, an under 5 mullet king was crowned.
And number one, Kieran McTare.
I'm Julie Walker.
Welcome to On Football. I'm Rob Motti. We're down to 8 teams in the running for the Super Bowl. Only 8 got a chance to lift the Vince Lombardi trophy. We will break down all of the NFL divisional round games in pro picks coming up. Our guest this week, LA Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. Matthew last week was named first team Associated Press All-Pro for the first time in his 17-year NFL career. He had a very cool reaction when I shared the news with him. So did Puka Nacua, Will Anderson, and a bunch of other guys. If you missed it, check out my social, AP Social. All of those reactions, very cool. It's always great to see guys react to wonderful news. Matthew Stafford is the only one of the 8 remaining starting quarterbacks in the playoffs who has actually won a Super Bowl, but no one has more pressure than Josh Allen. Last week in Jacksonville on the road, he willed the Bills to victory. He kept getting knocked down, took a physical beating, and carried them to the finish line, got the W, and this week they're on the road against Denver. We'll break down that game coming up. But for whatever reason, it seems that Josh Allen is held to a higher standard. A lot of analysts, especially former players, are so eager to see him fail, and they want to put all of Buffalo's hopes squarely on Josh Allen. So if receivers drop the ball, running backs fumble, defense gives up 50 points, they're ready and eager to blame Josh Allen for the loss. Football is the ultimate team sport, and while the quarterback and someone of the magnitude of Josh Allen is going to have a lot of input in how the game plays out, it's still a team sport, and you got to wait to see how it plays out before you dish out the blame for a loss that didn't even occur. It just doesn't make any sense. Matthew Stafford had his best season at age 37. I spent a few minutes chatting with him last week about being a first-team All-Pro, playing for Coach Sean McVay, and more. I'm down here in Tampa, so I got to see the tail end of Tom Brady. What he did at 43, 44, 45. What you did this year at 37 is right up there with the greatest seasons of all time.
I appreciate that.
What's it take to be able to get that done, man?
Great teammates, to be honest with you. A lot of hard work and dedication to try and keep myself upright and out there for those guys, because that's who I care about. But I'm lucky to play with a bunch of great players that, help me along the way, make my job easy, and my job is just to get them the rock and as best I possibly can. So it's been a whole lot of fun, a lot of people involved in keeping me healthy and going, but it's been a great year. It's been fun.
How much do you appreciate playing for a guy like Coach McVay?
I love it. He's close in age to me. We got a lot of great shared experiences now throughout the years, and my appreciation for him is it's huge. I love playing for him, love getting to spend time with him, love the way he coaches our team, me in particular, everybody. He's as steady of a human being as I've been around, and I appreciate that about him.
Listen, I know you're all about team goals and you're trying to win another Super Bowl, but do you set time aside at all? Are you able to reflect about the personal things, the personal accomplishments? Is there any, like, you want to check off, check this, I did this, I got that, you know, anything like that?
I think I'm just so in the middle of it right now, there's so much to do and so much to accomplish as a team. I really want to keep my focus on that. Obviously, I do understand and appreciate, the importance of this game and what it's meant throughout the years and the history of it. But at the same time, I just want to do everything I can to be the best teammate I can and help our guys continue this journey, because it has been so fun. We got such a great group. I want to make sure that, I do everything in my power to make sure that we get to come back to work next week and do it again.
How special would an MVP be if that were to happen?
It would mean a lot. I think it'd be an unbelievable team award, because especially the way I play the game of quarterback, I'm not running around holding the ball for forever. I'm getting it to guys that are making great plays and doing unbelievable things. So so many guys to thank if that ever did happen. But it's a special one. It's one that means a lot. I understand the history of this game and so many great players before me, and to be mentioned in any kind of breath with those guys would mean a lot.
Well, Matthew, here's one you don't have to wait on. We're going to announce on Saturday the Associated Press All-Pro rosters. You are the first team quarterback.
Oh, hell. That is that's amazing. I appreciate that. I did not know that was coming. Played a lot of years, a lot of respect for this game, a lot of respect for the other guys in that do what I do. It's not an easy thing to do, so means a lot. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Matthew. Good luck, man. Good luck this week. Good luck down the road, and hope to see you maybe in San Francisco.
Hey, I appreciate it, Rob. Thanks, man.
Time for some pro picks. We were 5-1 straight up last week, 4-2 against the spread. My best bet won, didn't cover. Upset special was money again. The four-pack was a two-pack last week because I just didn't love the games. This week, we're back to a full four-pack, which is 53-20-1 overall, 45-28-1 against the number. Let's start with the best bet. And again, I'm looking at the LA Rams, 13-5 at Chicago. The Bears are 12-6. The Rams are 3.5-point road favorites. Matthew Stafford had to rally LA after they blew a 14-0 lead against Carolina in a game that shouldn't have been that close, ended up winning 34-31. The Rams are going to need a better effort out of their defense. Over the last five games, LA has averaged giving up 30 points. Meanwhile, the Bears are the comeback kids. They were down 21-3 at halftime against Green Bay. Caleb Williams led them to their seventh fourth quarter comeback win this year. They just can't continue to do that. You've got to play a full four-quarter game, or else at some point it's going to catch up to you, and I think that's this week. I'm taking the Rams 30-23. For my upset special, which they are 14-5 straight up, 15-4 against the spread this season, I'm looking at Houston at New England. Texans are 13-5, Patriots are 15-3. New England is a 3-point favorite. Houston has the number one defense in the NFL, and they showed it against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Ended Mike Tomlin's coaching career in Pittsburgh, dominated that game, scored two touchdowns on defense. They have an all-pro edge rusher in Will Anderson Jr. Their cornerback, Derek Stingley, is an all-pro. They just need C.J. Stroud to protect the football this week, and I think he will. The Patriots also, last week against the Chargers, they relied on defense. They won 16-3. They shut down Justin Herbert. Drake May led the team in rushing. He had a great season in his second year in the NFL. They're going to need him to be outstanding, elite, against this defense, against Houston, the best in the NFL. I see the Texans sneaking in 17-16. Next, the Saturday games. Buffalo 13-5 at Denver 14-3. Broncos are just a 1-point favorite. Josh Allen, as I said earlier, he did everything last week. Now he's going to face the number two defense in the NFL. He's going to need more help from his teammates. Rushing champion James Cook had only 46 yards against Jacksonville. He's got to get going this week. The Broncos, they're also stacked on defense. They've got an all-pro in the interior of the line, Zach Allen. Nick Benito on the edge is a monster. Patrick Surtain at cornerback was the defensive player of the year last year. They had 68 sacks, franchise record this season. On offense, Bo Nix, they've also been comeback kids. He's led seven fourth quarter comebacks. He's going to go against the NFL's number one pass defense, but the Broncos are the number one seed. They were home. They were off last week. Meanwhile, the Bills played on Sunday. They got a little bit of a shorter rest. I like the Broncos 24-22. Lastly, San Francisco 13-5 at Seattle 14-3. The Seahawks are 7.5-point favorites. It's the third time these two teams meet. They played for the NFC's number one seed in week 18 in San Fran. Seattle won that 13-3. 49ers beat the Seahawks earlier in the season on the road. Last week, the Niners lost George Kittle and still found a way to beat the Eagles, eliminate the defending Super Bowl champions. Christian McCaffrey had two touchdowns. Brock Purdy made all the plays. They keep losing star players, whether it's Nick Bosa and Fred Warner earlier in the season, and they continue to find ways to be resilient, to win, to be in this position. Meanwhile, Seattle, number one seed, they were off last week. They're at home. They're going to need Sam Darnold not to make any mistakes. The Niners have to make Sam Darnold beat them. They've got to try and shut down that run and put it all on Sam Darnold. I do not like the fact that the 49ers played a Sunday game on the East Coast and now have to play on a Saturday. Terrible decision making by the NFL schedule makers. They could have put Seattle and San Fran on Sunday because the Bears and the Rams played on Saturday. So they get an extra day rest and the 49ers get the shaft. I think all of those injuries, the travel, the time, everything catches up to them. I'm taking the Seahawks 23-20. That's it for this week. Thank you to Matthew Stafford. Thank you for watching and listening to On Football. And thank you to Haya Pinjwani and Mike Hempen for producing this episode. Please check out apnews.com for all of the pro picks, On Football analysis, and more NFL news.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, a priest-turned-DJ spins up controversy, and Pope Leo meets with Venezuela's opposition leader. Priest by day and DJ by night brings the crowds and some controversy. AP correspondent Charles De La Desma reports.
Ravers dance and sway to electronic music at a popular nightclub in the heart of Beirut on just another sold-out Saturday in the party capital of the Middle East. What's different this time is the DJ at the helm. Before putting on his headphones, he'd been leading a mass at a Lebanese Catholic university.
The night of the Holy Spirit.
52-year-old Padre Guilherme is a priest from a village in northern Portugal who preaches by day and parties at night. His night work, he explains, is an extension of his faith.
The religion and the music always were connected.
As Guilherme plays his music, images of the late Pope Francis, Pope John Paul II, and white doves are projected onto huge screens behind him. The DJ also played a song for Lebanon and waved a Lebanese flag to the cheering crowd. Guilherme broke onto the global stage after his performance at a World Youth Day in 2023 before Pope Francis' open-air mass and another featuring Pope Leo XIV in 2025. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Venezuela's opposition leader, Maria Corina Machado, had a surprise audience with Pope Leo XIV. AP's Haya Panjwani reports.
Machado is touring Europe and the United States after escaping Venezuela in early 2025. Pope Leo, the first American pontiff, has called for Venezuela to remain independent following the capture of former President Nicolas Maduro by U.S. forces. The Pope has expressed deep concern over the situation and urges the protection of human rights. Machado, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, dedicates her award to U.S. President Donald Trump and the people of Venezuela. I'm Haya Panjwani.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.